Good evening. How is everyone? Are y'all excited?
Yes.
Let's wake up. Let's do this. I am so excited to be here with you guys. I look forward to this week every year. It's such a time to fill up our cups and dive really deep into God's Word, and I love it for that. And I love being with all of you guys. You guys are amazing. All right, so I thought that writing a lesson on types and shadows was hard. I think that this lesson has been my most challenging one yet, truly. Love is so complex. After my lesson, you might think of another verse, you might think of another concept that I omitted, and that's okay. It's hard to pare it down and put it into a nice, neat little box. I encourage you to do more study, to take good notes, to dive deep into this, okay? Because God's Word is living and active, and we learn new things every time we open it, don't we? I do that every time, and I love that part about it. So my lesson is by no means exhaustive. I could have gone on and on. It is not easy to wrap up love in a nice package. So what I'm introducing to you guys tonight is I'm introducing what is love and why we should love. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Tomorrow, we're going to learn more on how to love from Julie. And then the majority of our future lessons are going to be on who do we love. And I'm sure there's going to be some how to love with Carla, April, Cindy, Lisa, and Holly. And then Reagan's going to set a boundary line for us on what we do not love. Okay, so that helps you. I'm trying to stay in my lane, ladies, and I'm trying to do my best. I will touch on probably some scriptures that the rest of them are going to do, but I'll try to find some unique scriptures for you guys. So the Bible is God's love letter to us, His children. As women, we often want to hear that we are loved. Do you guys like hearing that you're loved? Do you like hearing an I love you? I know I do. I'm a words of affirmation girl, so I want to hear it. We also want to know that we're loved. I know that there's times, I'm tempted to even ask my husband, like, well, how do you feel about me? It's funny that you just want to know that. You want to be reassured of that. That's what God's Word does for us. He's always reassuring us. He's always telling us that. The Apostle John was exceptionally good at communicating love to us. So for the majority of our lesson tonight, we're going to be in 1 John. We'll also turn over to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John chapter 15. That's where I'm going to draw mostly from. So the first part of my lesson is going to be what is love. And I'm going to go kind of quick in my first part of my lesson. We're going to really dig deep into the Word and actually read scripture towards the end of the lesson. I've got some young ladies up here. They're going to pass out. I have a fun worksheet at the end for us to do, an activity. So for your notes, part one, what is love? Love is an emotion or a feeling. Love is an emotion or a feeling. There are 9 Greek definitions for the word love. Only 5 forms are used in the Bible. I am going to go ahead and go through all of them just quickly. We'll definitely expand more on the ones that are in the Bible. First, love in Greek, eros, E-R-O-S. Eros is sexual desire and physical attraction. While I was studying this, I was surprised to learn that eros is not in the New Testament. It's not. It is only in the Greek Septuagint. That is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And we mentioned 1, maybe 2 times. The verdict is kind of out on that one. They're not sure. Odd. It is characterized by desire, attraction, and intimacy. It encompasses romantic love's physical, emotional, and spiritual aspects. The love of a husband and a wife. Proverbs 7:18 is actually where the word love was translated from eros. It says, come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. Eros, the Septuagint. Proverbs 5:18-19. Song of Solomon 4:10. Song of Solomon 7:10. And then chapter 8:6-7. Hebrews 13:4. These are all, although eros is not actually used in the scripture right here, specifically, all these verses depict pure marital love. Okay. Next Greek term, phileo or phileia. Phileo is P-H-I-L-E-O. This is brotherly love. Also friendship. It is used 25 times in the New Testament. Phileo implies spiritual connection, trust, and shared values. Think of kindred spirit. That's what phileo is. A vital component to any relationships. Without it, love becomes self-centered. Romans 12, verse 10 is a good example of phileo. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, phileo. Your next Greek term, storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, storge. Devoted family love. Storge is actually not used in the New Testament. It's a variation of it. Philostorgos. It's used only one time. It is a caregiver's love. It's secure, steady, often one-sided. Sometimes when you're the caregiver, it's a one-sided love that you're offering. Especially when you're a mama with a new baby, right? That's storge. Romans 12, verse 10. Same one as we just mentioned. Be kindly affectionate. There's your storge. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Now we're going to go through, I've got four Greek terms that are not mentioned above. I'm just going to mention them quickly for you guys, but pragma. Pragma, P-R-A-G-M-A. This is known as mature love. It is long-term love built on commitment, responsibility, and shared purpose. So when you're in the winter seasons of life, that's pragma. Ludus, L-U-D-U-S. Ludus is playful love. This is lighthearted love. It is often fleeting. It's very pleasure-focused, okay? It's not rooted in commitment. It's not always, it can be an innocent love, but also can be like a fling and stuff like that. So it can be either or. Mania, M-A-N-I-A. Mania is obsessive love. Mania is driven by insecurity, jealousy, or emotional instability. There's times when mania is actually happens, like when you first enter, especially a romantic relationship, you just can't get enough of them, can you? Okay, you can have a little bit of that. You've got to temper that, though. Okay, it's not healthy to stay in obsessive love at all. Meraki, M-E-R-A-K-I. Hey guys, I am not a Greek scholar. I may be butchering the pronunciations, but just bear with me. Meraki. This is creative passion. This is actually modern Greek, okay? But I went ahead and included it because Meraki is doing something with love, creativity, and devotion. So if you've got a hobby, that's Meraki. I love crocheting. I love to cook, okay? It's not the same as all the other loves, all right? That is Meraki. Here's your next biblical term. Philautia. P-H-I-L-A-U-T-I-A. Philautia. This is self-love. It is mentioned one time in the Bible, and it's in negative context. It is self-focused, inward love. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves. That is the self-love we're talking about here. And guys, when you start to dig into this, you're going to see all kinds of opinions, especially on the web, about this. Because when I first found this one, it's like, oh, self-love is good. You should love yourself. You should appreciate yourself, your self-esteem. I agree with that. However, you've got to go back to the text in the Bible. You've got to look at what does the Bible say about that. And in this case, that particular love was mentioned in a negative context. Okay. Last but not least, agape. A-G-A-P-E, agape. This is your unconditional love. It is used 116 times. It's actually used more in its related forms, 250 plus times in its related forms. Okay, so this is when most of the time when you see love in the Bible, it's most of the time it's going to be agape. Okay, this is the least selfish form of love. It is giving without requiring in return. John 15:10. If you love me, keep my commandments. You will abide in my love, agape. just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, agape. 1 John 4:8. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is agape. So as you can see, there's many different kinds of love, and not all of them are the same. They're very different. Some love is based on feelings. Some love is temporary. Some love is selfish. Loving chocolate and loving God are not the same thing. Or bread pudding, whatever it is. Not the same thing. We know that. Love is often more complicated than any words can describe. The Greeks attempted to do it by classifying all these different types of love, but in reality, its forms and manifestations tend to blur together, okay? They blend in various combinations. It's rare to just have one type of love. Much like it is impossible to define God. Very difficult. There's so many facets to God. There's so many facets to love. We live in a world that casually throws around the word love. Love is love. They are also purposely distorting the true meaning. That's why this lesson is so important. That's why the rest of our lessons is so important, because we hear that chatter from the outside. We've got to turn that volume down and get right back into God's Word to figure out what is love, because God shows us what true love really is. Point number two, love is an action. Love is an action. 1 John 3:18. Let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. We do want to hear it, but God says, show me. Show me, and I want to see that. John 3:16. We know God loves us because He gave us Jesus. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, while Jesus walked this earth, He demonstrated time and time again that love is an action. His compassion motivated Him to serve, heal, and give of Himself. One demonstration of how to love was when He washed the disciples' feet. Do you guys remember Peter's reaction to that? I think Carla's actually going to go more into probably to this one as well. Do you remember his reaction? No, not, you cannot wash my feet. And Jesus' response was, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. This is serious business. He's like, no, you've got to let me do this. That's John 13:8. We're going to talk a little bit more about on how we have a part with Jesus later. We're going to dive into that a little bit later. Love is the most frequently repeated command in the New Testament. 55 times. Think it's serious? Absolutely. All the other commandments fall into the right perspective when we understand and apply love. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. Matthew 22:40. Love does something. It's an action. Point number three. Love is a choice and commitment. Love is a choice and a commitment. Love is not just something that we feel. It is also something that we commit to. And that commitment deepens in three different ways. Covenant, obedience, and ultimately sacrifice. Let's talk about subpoint covenant. You want to write that down in your notes. Covenant, foundation, put that in parentheses. Covenant, foundation. A covenant answers why love stays. Love is not just a moment, it's a binding commitment. God's unconditional love is not based on our response. It is anchored in His nature. This establishes security and permanence for us. Isaiah 43:1-4. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. you are mine. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Now, I know he's speaking right there to Israel and to Jacob, but I want you to think of that also as how he speaks to us. That verse is comforting, because remember, I'm a words of affirmation girl. And so I'm like, I want to hear God say, God says, I have loved you. You are precious because I have created you. That fills my heart, guys. I've got that one marked. It helps me to see the covenant that God is making with me. Isaiah 54, verse 10. But my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord. He makes a covenant and he keeps it. Before love does anything, it decides who it belongs to. Subpoint number two, obedience. In parentheses, expression of love. Obedience, expression of love. So next comes obedience in the aspect of the covenant and the commitment, because it shows us how covenant love lives out daily. 1 John 5, verse 2. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And right across the page, John 15, 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Obedience is not compliance. It is love in motion. It shifts from I have to I want to, because I love him. And I know that probably Lisa might even touch on this too, that as you're raising your children, sometimes it's just you got to do it because I said so, but eventually it needs to shift over to because I love my parent. That's what God expects from us too. He wants that from us. Subpoint number three. Sacrifice, in parentheses, highest expression. Sacrifice, highest expression. Sacrifice is the fullest, most costly expression of love. John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Ephesians 5, verse 2. Walk in love, as Christ has loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. So sacrifice is where love becomes visible and undeniable. It reflects Christ the most clearly. Obedience grows into sacrifice when love is fully formed. Obedience grows into sacrifice when love is fully formed. Point number four, love is a person, capital P. God is love, 1 John 4, verse 8, and verse 16. So we see different sides of God's love in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We know God is unchanging. I mean, God is permanent. His every aspect of his being is permanent. But we're going to see kind of different sides of him in a way. In Hebrew, in the Old Testament, well, sorry, Mr. Beth, I got that back. Old Testament, he is unchanging. We see God is unchanging and faithful. He is fatherly. He is jealous. And he is possessive of Israel. There's a Hebrew word called hesed. It is spelled H-E-S-E-D. It is in the scripture 248 times. A lot. It's probably the most used love word in the Old Testament. It means steadfast mercy, steadfast love, mercy, loving kindness, loyal goodness, and a covenant love. Okay? So you can't really compare Greek terms to Hebrew. Not exactly. Hebrew's got all these little extra. You're going to see in a minute how many different aspects each word has. But this one's probably going to be your closest to agape. It's going to be your closest to that, okay? A good example of it. Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Goodness there is chesed. Psalms 69, verses 15 through 16. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Isaiah 54, verse 10. My steadfast love will not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed. Another Hebrew word, ahava, spelled A-H-A-B-A, used 208 times in the scripture. It is human love towards another or himself. It is also sexual desire, or it's God's love towards his people. Do you see how wide this is? It's very wide, okay? Used so many different times. Hosea 3, verse 1. Go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods. Mm-hmm. That's the word right there. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 13, specifically verse 8. Because the Lord loves you, and he would keep the oath he swore to your fathers. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Your next Hebrew word is dod. It is D-O-D. Used 61 times in the Bible. All right, this one's special. It can mean loved one, beloved, love, uncle, lover, especially between the sexes, and bed of love. Why is uncle in the bed? I don't know. It's specifically uncle. It can't be an aunt. It could be anything else. Okay, but that's the word. Dod, or dod is how it's pronounced. So this is where you see the word is used the most often in Song of Solomon, okay? You can't really compare this to Eros, but it's kind of close-ish. It's in that realm. Also, so pretty much almost every single beloved is dod, love, bed of love. It's all right there. Ezekiel 16, verse 8. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. And that's God speaking right there to Israel. Your last Hebrew word for love, raham, spelled R-A-H-A-M, 47 times. It can mean to love deeply, have mercy, be compassionate, or have tender affection. This is a cherishing, soothing of a parent towards a child. Okay, so that's kind of your... more of your phileo store goes. Good examples of this are Isaiah 54, verse 8, Psalms 103, verse 13, and Hosea 2, verse 23. Okay, so we were looking at the different aspects of love as a person. We're looking at God in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. Okay, we're switching over to the New Testament here. In the New Testament, we see the picture of God as unchanging and faithful. He's the same in both, right? He's always the same. However, we're also seeing a side of God where he is brotherly affection, and he is self-sacrificial. Why do you guys think that is? Jesus. Yeah, because Jesus came down. That's right. So Jesus didn't love humanity broadly. He loved people personally, relationally, and intimately, okay? And I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. To be one of those people that got to meet God in person in the New Testament times, to get to have a close relationship with the Lord, that's amazing, okay? But you got to see that different aspects of that. No wonder they were scratching their heads all the time, like, are you really? Really? Even the apostles were doing that. So John 11, verse 3, verse 5, and verse 36. This is the account of when Jesus gets the word about Lazarus, his bestie. Okay, he gets the word about Lazarus. Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then he begins to weep for him. See how he loved him. Okay? This is phileo. This is phileo happening. This is that brotherly, close friendship and family love. Jesus wept. And right here, when he enters into that human emotion, okay, we're seeing Jesus' love on display again in a different way. It's not distant. It is not detached. John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, but I've called you friends. You're my friend. Jesus elevated us from servants to a friend, that phileo relationship. Again, the love becomes relational, but it's not transactional, not in this type. God is not just a distant covenant keeper in the New Testament. He is a present friend. So brotherly love would have been number five. I forgot to get that for you guys. That would be number five. Number six, self-sacrificial love, agape. Number six, self-sacrificial love, agape. This is where Jesus reveals the fullest picture of God's love for us. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this than to lay down one's life for his friends. 1 John 3:16. Notice how John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16 match up. It's almost like the same guy wrote it. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is agape. It's initiated by God. It is undeserved. It is unconditional. The love is not just feelings or words. It is demonstrated to us in the deepest way possible. In the Old Testament, God's love is not yet fully revealed to us. His love was fully manifested and revealed in Jesus Christ. Point number five. Love is eternal. Love is eternal. If God is love, then love is eternal. Jeremiah 31:3. Loved you with an everlasting love. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:3. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. The greatest of these is love. Romans 8:38-39. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, including life or death. Love lasts because God is eternal. Now we're moving into part two. Why do we love? Part two. Why do we love? And if y'all would, go ahead and start passing those out. You're not going to get them right away, but if you can just take them and just divide them up between the tables and just pass it down. Let them pass it down. Part two, why do we love? Here. So we're not quite to that yet. While it's getting passed around, this isn't really note-taking aspect. This is the hardest part of the lesson. When you get to the why of love, guys, trying to narrow this down because there's so much. There's so many reasons why to love. But I try to simplify it a little bit. I try to make it match a little bit with the what is love. I'm going to see if I can hopefully make that fit for you guys a little bit. Part two, why do we love? Number one, because God is love. Because God is love. Imitate God as dear children. That's Ephesians 5:1-2. A lot of us in here are mamas, and most of us have been around kids before. I mean, what do the kids do? They imitate the person they see. They imitate their caregivers, okay? And their first aspect of love is from their parents. Whoever's taking care of them, that's how they're first introduced to love. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4, verse 19. So I mentioned that our first love comes from our caregivers. That's how we are first introduced to love. So I went ahead and put the question out there. Does this mean that if I was not loved well as a child, that I cannot imitate God? No, it does not mean that. God gives us many examples in the Word. We can still learn to love as adults. Our spiritual family should also demonstrate that love to us as well. God is love, therefore we should imitate him. Walk in love as Christ has given us an example. That's Ephesians 5, verse 2. He's our big brother. He is our Lord and Savior, but he's also our big brother. He took those first steps. He showed us how to do it. And just like a little kid looking up to their big brother or big sister, we're going to follow and imitate them. Love is a person, so love must be received before it can be given. Point two of why do we love? Because he showed us how. Because he showed us how. This goes along with that action and commitment that we talked about earlier. 1 John 4, verses 9 through 11. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only... You know what? Let's go ahead and turn there. Let's get our Bibles open. We have not gotten them open early yet. Go ahead and go to 1 John 4, verses 9 through 11. You're going to stay there in just a minute. We're going to really dig in. But this is a longer passage, so let's read that together. 1 John 4, verses 9 through 11. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Jesus did not just define love. Again, he demonstrated it for us. His love moves us. It motivates us. It compels us. That's how we see heaven. What he, again, showed us how. Love is not forced obedience. It is a response to being loved. John 13, verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. 1 John 4, 7. To love is to demonstrate that we are born of God and that we know God. 1 John 4, 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Love comes from a daily choice rooted in covenant. So love is not optional. It is evidence. Love proves that we belong to him, that we know him, and that we are being changed by him. Our love proclaims Christ to the world. It helps others to want to know the good news. Just think about it. Have you ever had somebody ask you, it's like, oh, you guys are amazing. Like, I see how y'all interact with your family. It seems like y'all got something going on here. If you invited a church, it's like, wow, this is an amazing group of people. Your love between each other is opening up their hearts to receive the gospel. This is one of the biggest reasons why love is so important, is so that we can share God's love with them, so they can know about it. Remember, they don't know God, they can't truly know love. Okay? It's huge. Point number three. Why do we love? Point number three. Because love is eternal. Because love is eternal. I want you to put in parentheses beside it, abiding. Love is eternal, abiding. Go ahead and flip over if you're still in 1 John. Go to chapter 2, verse 24. 1 John 2, 24. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If what you've heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. John 14, verse 23. Just jot that one down for your notes. Love is not temporary. It is where we abide. All right, so go ahead and on your pages right there, you'll turn to page 1. You should have page 1. It should be all up front and back. So you'll see right there some of the Apostle John's favorite words and phrases were love. By this you know, specifically know, but he says, look, by this you know a lot. And also abide. Okay, he says that word so much. Okay, the word abide in Greek is meno, M-A-N-O. And it means to stay, remain, or continue. John uses the word abide more than any other New Testament writer. Over 60% of its usage is found in John's writings. That was surprising to me. I was already kind of on like a little Nancy Drew sleuthing on the word of abide, like word study, when they gave me this lesson. And then I went, well, what do you know? Like, here it is, right here with the love lesson. I'm going to wrap this in for sure. And I'll see how this works. So what I want you to do, if you've got some Bible marking tools out, we're going to have a Bible marking. And so you're going to use your sheet, and we're going to go through, grab a highlighter, grab a pen. You've already got a pen or something in your hands. What we're going to do is we're going to highlight abide in him and abides in him. And this scripture right here, you're welcome to highlight that in your Bible if you'd like, or you can just use the sheet we have. So one of the other things we're going to do, so I want to, again, put your thinking caps on. If God is love, and he wants us to abide in him, God is asking us to stay in love. Stay in love. So what we're going to do is we're going to pencil in stay or stay in love whenever you see the word abide or abide in him. I also want you to squiggle a line underneath perfected or perfect. You're not going to see that as many times, and I'll help you find them, okay? So let's read these together. John 15, verses 4 through 13. Abide, highlight it, in me. If you want, you can jot the stay above it, stay in me. And I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides, stays in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Stay in love. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me stays in me, stays in love. And I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, stay, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide, stay in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, and that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Stay in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide, stay in my love. Just as you have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, stay in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So Jesus right here is the vine. He says it, I am the vine. The verses preceding that, verses 1 through 3, we find out that God is the vine dresser. We're familiar with this passage. It's talking about how he's going to take away the branches that don't bear fruit if we're not doing that. Do you see what's happening? how you're actually going to bear fruit too is if you're staying in Him, staying in His love, you're walking in love. Okay? So stay in Jesus equals to stay in love. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. But he who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected. Squiggly line, perfected in Him. By this we know, just underline it, by this we know, there's John's word, that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him, stays in love, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. I'm going to pause right there for a second. The whole first book of 1 John is written because they were being attacked intellectually by Gnosticism and people. That's why he's saying that you may know. Gnosticism was all about, can I know this? How do I know this? There are all these intellects. They weren't thinking with the heart. They weren't spiritual in that aspect. He's like, no, no. You can know that God exists. You can know that Jesus came in the flesh. So when that's part of why verse 26 is talking about, these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides, stays in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Stay in love. And now, little children, abide in Him. Stay in love. That when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Underline that. Confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. 1 John 3, verse 6. Whoever abides in Him, stays in love, does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. 1 John 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, stays in love, and He in him. And by this we know, you can underline know if you want to, by this we know that He abides in us, stays in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. 1 John 4, verses 12 through 19. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected, squiggly line, in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, stay in love, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides, stays in Him, and He in God. And we have known and believed that the love of God has for us. God is love. And he who abides stays in love, abides, stays in God, and God in him. Verse 17. God has been perfected, squiggly line, among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Underline that. Boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There's that perfect squiggly line. I actually underlined, no fear in love, perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Perfect. We love him because he first loved us. Guys, thanks for staying with me on that. But I want y'all to, do y'all see what's happening here? When I saw that, it was a light bulb moment for me. It was huge. Because abide, I mean, how many of us actually use the word abide in our everyday talking? I don't. But I love that word. I love it. So when I put it in a terminology that helps me understand it, helps me relate to it, I hope that it's going to be the very same thing for you guys. So we did underline, we did a squiggly line for perfected. Okay, we're going to connect the dots here with perfected love. John connects the dots for us because I've seen that perfected love. That sounds unachievable, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not perfect. How about you guys? It's like, how can I get perfected love? Is that for real? John says it's possible. He's going to show us exactly how to do it. So if you want to just look back in that same page, their first instance of it is 1 John 2:5. So I think that's on your, should be on the first page. Yes. Okay. You see that perfected in him? Okay. So how is love perfected right here? It's keep his word. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. So that's your point there. Keep his word. Then go ahead and turn over your page. I think it'll be on that side. You're looking at verse 28 of chapter 2. Verse 28. I might have messed up on my numbers here. Anyway, where is our next perspective? Do y'all see it?
1 John 4.
Thank you. 1 John 4, verse 12. Yes, has been perfected. Okay, right there. Has been perfected in us. Okay, so there it is. Okay, that's what I was looking for right here. So look at verse 17. Love has been perfected among us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. There's your point. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Hang on, I feel like I'm missing one thing. Sorry. Say it again.
There's one in the paragraph before it.
Thank you. Where is it? Verse what?
No one has seen God at any time. Perfected is the second word.
Yes, got it. Okay, yes. And his love has been perfected in us. Okay, so if we love one another, that's the point. Sorry, guys. If we love one another, his love has been perfected in us. That's what you need to put down there. Love, so keep his word. Love one another. Still feel like I'm missing one thing. It's okay, so the other thing was the confidence and no shame in his coming. Perfected love brings confidence and no shame in his coming.
That was 1 John 2:28.
Thank you. That's 1 John 2:28. Something got messed up right here. Yes, 1 John 2:28 is confidence and no shame in his coming. Thank you. All right, so those are part of our things right here, okay? But look at 1 John 4:17. That's your boldness in the day of judgment. No fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Okay, so if your point is boldness in the day of judgment, no fear. And then 1 John 5:11. We're going to get to that in just a second. You're going to go ahead and turn into that into your Bibles. 1 John 5:11-13. Now, as you're turning there, I'm going to give you kind of a math equation right here. How to achieve perfected love based on what we just learned. It is loving God and keeping his commandments, loving God plus keeping his commandments, and then loving others. That's it. That's the equation that John's giving us right here. So loving God, keeping his commandments, and loving others. That sounds a lot like the greatest command, does it not? It's repeated so much throughout Scripture. So the greatest command is also perfected love from Matthew 22. What is the result? What does it equal? What is the result of perfected love? It gives us boldness in the day of judgment. No fear. It gives us confidence. No shame in his coming. It also gives us the knowledge that we as Christians have eternal life. Read with me 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life,
and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. All right, so see that. See how it says that he's given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son? He's just connected all the dots for us. How do we stay in the Son? Love. How do we do this? Okay, it's letting us know the result of perfected love is also that confidence, that knowledge that we have eternal life. That's what perfected love gives us. Here's your final truths for tonight. Love begins and ends with God. Love begins and ends with God. Love was shown through Jesus. Love is our response. Love is also our identity. And love is eternal. Ladies, love is the only thing that we get to carry with us into eternity. It is also what we know is waiting for us on the other side. We get to take it, and we know he's waiting for us right there. Isn't that beautiful? So if we want to live in what lasts, we stay in love.